I am absolutely obsessed with this next Queen deep dive. And I've always enjoyed this song, but it's one of those that as I've gone through all the different versions of it, I've indulged in live versions of it, original version. We're going to talk a lot about all of that. It's increased my appreciation for the track tenfold. I cannot stop listening to this. I'm singing it all the time. I'm humming it. I'm whistling it. It's been in my brain like this bug in my ear. And I love when that happens. That's happened a handful of times with Queen songs. Typically, I have a massive love for them before I even start researching them. But this one, the reason I think I love it so much now is almost entirely because of the live versions. And this has happened a handful of times with Queen songs. I would say the most obvious example of that is their song Dreamer's Ball from Jazz. When I was working my way up to it and I started listening to the live Killers version of it and other live performances of Dreamer's Ball, and I thought, wow, this is so much fun. I love the way Brian introduces it as a little bit of nonsense now. And they're clearly having a ball, huh? Dreamer's Ball. It's a great song. And I know that people who don't know them outside of the hits probably know nothing about it, but it's definitely one of those that proves their versatility and how dynamic they are as performers, songwriters. It's just this incredible shiny gem of a number. And I dig it. And this one, yes, I am in love with this. And I really think that when it comes to songs that are more well-known, because this was a single, this is definitely one that sits high on my list. I'm not really big on a lot of their hits. And of course, that's partially because I've heard the song so many times now. I prefer their deeper tracks. I think some of their best compositions are buried in their catalog. And we're talking things like The Night Comes Down or You Take My Breath Away. I think You Take My Breath Away has new life, especially ever since the boys' popularity has shot through the roof again after the release of the film Bohemian Rhapsody. A lot of people have been digging into deeper tracks and going through the albums rather than just the greatest hits collections. But today we are talking about a number that is officially credited to only Roger. But really, this is a bit of a Roger Freddie co-write. And this is track number 2 on Queen's 12th album, A Kind of Magic, released in 1986. Pop, dance, rock. Not traditional dance in this day and age, but certainly at the time when this was released, there was something very sparkly and dancey about this. And this is dive number 130. A Kind of Magic. The song, A Kind of Magic, on the album of the same name. This is the title track, and it is indeed magical and mystical and atmospheric. Kind of reminds me of Radio Gaga in that way. Not surprising, another Taylor number, really phenomenal. This was a single, yes, released March 17th of 86 in the UK, June 4th of 86 in the US, and it charted number 3 and number 42, respectively. I'm really surprised this didn't hit number 1, especially in the UK, but it did hit number 1 in Spain and Argentina. And supposedly, it was number 1 in 35 countries. There are several sources, including my go-to, Brian and Roger approved, Queen As It Began book that mentioned this. But I tell you what, I found nothing to prove that. I dug through charts. I looked up historical data. I went on Discogs. I was looking everywhere to find international charting results for Queen's single, A Kind of Magic, and I simply couldn't find them. Is it possible this is true? I suppose so. I really don't want to discount my book, Queen As It Began, because that's one of my go-tos. That's one of my, oh, wow, the guys endorsed this. This is approved. This was written by people who knew them really well. Why would they write something like that if it wasn't true? So while it's hard to believe that, I certainly don't want to write it off as a false claim. But even if it's not true, I think the accessibility of this song and the magical quality of it and its simplicity. On the surface, it's a very simple, fairly straightforward pop rock song. But it's got a very unconventional song structure. It doesn't have your typical verse, chorus, verse, chorus. It's got a loose framework like that. But given this is Queen, no surprise that there are some variations and spins to that typical structure of a song. We're at a pretty jazzed up 130 beats per minute in the time signature of 4/4, common time. And we're in the key of A major, which happens to be the fifth of One Vision, which was in D major. I don't know, from a music theory mindset standpoint, jumping from one song to the next like that, where it jumps up a fifth, is just really satisfying. It's comforting and satisfying. A kind of magic to live eternally, to be immortal. It's a kind of magic. And this speaks to me on a spiritual level, this song. You can interpret it that way. I was thinking about that last night when I was listening to it again and I was wrapping up my final thoughts about this. Read the lyrics. We're going to talk about what the inspiration was when Roger wrote this, but just read the lyrics from a purely unbiased perspective. If you're at all spiritual, I think you'll see what I'm getting at here. There are many phrases that could be interpreted as enlightenment or renewal or being born again, et cetera, et cetera. I love that because it's broad enough that it can speak in that way. Queen's very good at this. They can take a specific emotion or a moment or a very, very detailed topic discussion, and they can interpret it in a way in a song that you can kind of take it and run with it. It's very ambiguous, and Freddie especially was very intentful on keeping it that way. This is exactly why when people asked about Bo Rap, and to this day when people ask about Bo Rap, and I have a sneaking suspicion that there are only a select few still around that know exactly what Freddie was talking about, the rest of us can only speculate. And that was the whole point. What is this about? Especially all of the operatic babble, all of the critics everywhere wanted to know, Freddie, what are you singing about? What is this? And he would always, tongue firmly in his cheek, kind of shake his head, that little mischievous grin tucked away there, that glint in his eye, and he'd smile and nod. And I think that is the perfect way to maintain this enigmatic quality Queen has in some of these broadly speaking songs. And A Kind of Magic is a bit like that in a way. I love this. Yes, it was written, inspired entirely by a line in the film Highlander, but you can take it to be a very energizing, renewing statement. Roger must have really liked this title. This song, the title of it, is sung or said at least 15 times. If not more, probably more, because I don't think I counted the improvised vocals that happened during the outro. So there you have it. Definitely a favorite phrase for this song. And this is just about as dancey as Queen gets, and featuring a plethora, a very jazzy 16th note runs, scales from Brian, some of his best. It's breezy. This Roger, aka collab with Freddie number, works its magic and is a relaxing, uplifting listen, not just for the reasons I spoke of, not just because of the lyrics, but something about the sound. It's warm, it's inviting, it's uplifting, it sparkles, it shimmers. This somewhat unconventional song structure works wonders on the poppier sound, taking the song out of predictable territory and adding some enigmatic transitions. But these are seamless, and this bops along effortlessly. Freddie's vocal is definitely a highlight. Smooth, silky, buttery, almost jazzier with glissandos, and very sustained, open, round, loud vowels. It feels very off the cuff and natural, and his tone flexes from soft and alluring to sharp and commanding. Freddie and Roger give us backing vocals and harmonies here. John's bass is simply stunning playfulness here. Whether it's programmed or live, I've read that this might be a programmed bass, but I have a hard time believing that. This sounds like it's being played live, and it complements Roger's bright drumming. There's not a whole lot going on here. Roger's drumming is very restrained. It's not as rich with those layers that we sometimes hear from him, but he's so good at executing a strike in a very targeted, strategic moment. What gives this track its warmth is the rich synths and the keyboards, likely played by Freddie, Roger, and perhaps Philip Spike Edney. We've talked about Spike in the past. There's talk that he played keyboards or synthesizers on this. Those are the chords that round this out and create that atmosphere. And Brian's softened guitar runs, there's not quite as much distortion here, not by a long shot, really. They ring out more like vocal accents, except for the solo, and it's a fun one. Freddie's spin on Roger's original take is bouncy, it's addicting, it's a perfect escape to lighthearted wonder and whimsy. And together, our favorite frontman and our drummer created, yes, magic. Of course, it's not just the two of them. I know that. We've got John and his bass brilliance, and we've got Brian Moody May perfectly encapsulating the attitude we need to make this shine here, a kind of magic. 27 live performances. All stops of the Magic Tour this was played. Budapest, aka Live Magic, the recording on Live Magic. I get goosebumps, especially watching this. Such anticipation as the sounds swirl and hover around us before the song begins. Roger's cymbal swells. Ooh, Freddie's on fire here. I don't hear one bad moment from him, not one hiccup. He transitions to lower octaves and notes to preserve his vocal integrity, like the pro he is. And all of them in such a comfortable place. The four of them. Roger and Brian's harmonies are so beautiful with Freddie, especially that isolated, done, going towards the end as we get into the outro. And then the tempo takes off just a smidge, just a hint faster, maybe a click or two. John bopping along, always absolutely on top of the beat. Brian jamming throughout the entire song. And it's so awesome to have his presence everywhere, all the time. Where it's more strategic and minimal on the album, he's everywhere on a live stage. Roger crashing, pounding his kit, and Freddie rousing the audience as he struts all over the stage. Wembley is just as impressive. And I think this was night one that I particularly love, if not more so impressive than Budapest. And the crowd is so into it after Freddie's, it's a kind of magic. They just roar out in this expectation. Brian's trills in the second verse. John's twirl going into the next phrase, disco deaky. Roger's galloping in the second chorus. A little bit of magic, Freddie. All of it. Magic, magic, magic. It makes me so happy. Roger's snappy, bright drumming, and I love what he does in the pre-chorus. All those cymbal and ringing glitters. Brian's outro solo is absolutely amazing at Wembley on this first night. Wow. And it makes me wish we had this on Live Magic instead. All of those arpeggios and scales, so smooth. I literally, when I was watching this and hearing this, I think I said, wow. Just absolutely gorgeous playing. So rousing, and it lifts your spirits. And John is jamming against that guitar as Brian goes to town, moving from the predictable patterns and digging in on a bass. Bassists do not get enough credit. John is so incredibly good at improvising these moments when they come. They all gel so beautifully here. The footage of Freddie's balloon drifting into the sky at Wembley, I'm here for it. Brian's ridiculous runs at the end, what? Amazing. Even Vienna, there's amateur footage. Very nice. Something about it, it's even more special because of its quality. You really get the sense of what it was like to be there, even though that quality is so fuzzy. It brings it to life. I love this live. I love it live, probably more than any other studio recording. This is pure, yes, magic on a stage. This is why Queen is so good in front of an audience. This is where they belong. It's stunning. I have a lot of fun facts about It's Kind of Magic. Snippets of this song's beginning appear toward the end of Highlander. Then, of course, the original version of this song runs over the film's closing credits. Now, this original, heavier Roger version was finally officially released in 2011 on the Universal Bonus EP. Kind of amazing that it took that long for this song, which, yes, it's over the film's credits, but was not given a release until this point, 2011. It's a crime. This version's chords, richer, deeper. The beat is more broken. We don't have this consistent hit on the snare on beats 2 and 4. There's something sweeping and more epic about it. I love this. In fact, when I hear the song in my head, when it just pops in there for absolutely no reason, I usually hear this in the Roger version first in my head, despite the accessibility and the memorable performance of the studio version. Something about the atmospheric, I don't know, I really love the depth of Roger's version. It's a bit heavier, yeah, but something about that speaks to me. Really, the whole thing has this deeper, richer quality. There's this moment towards the end where Freddie, and this is unique to the version that Roger originally made. There's a moment where he goes, "This is a kind of magic," and this spiraling, really high-pitched, kind of dissonant arpeggio rings out in circles and circles, and everything kind of booms back in and sweeps in. And there's these epic choral synthesized things happening that aren't in the complete album version, and I simply love them. Now, Freddie significantly reworked this original version, turning it into the lighter, poppier, radio-ready thing we love. But it remains solely credited to Raj, and I kind of love that. And Philip Spike Edney, yep, may have played some of those synths. And I found a note that Roger may have played Brian's main BHM bespoke here. He may have. All of the vocals are really done by only Freddie and Roger. Those high harmonies potentially sped up towards the end. Kind of sounds like ladies singing. And if you see the video, it definitely gives you the impression that there are women singing those lines. But my understanding is those are just Freddie and Roger using various effects, perhaps. The single release, the artwork, features the villain of Highlander. That kind of brings it down for me, if I'm honest. As I said when I kicked off this album, I watched Highlander. I had to. I needed context. Where did these songs sit in the film? What did they mean? I knew some of the more obvious, but not everything, and I wanted to know everything. So the fact that they feature the villain of the film is kind of interesting. But yeah, he is the primary feature on the single artwork for pretty much every version of the single released in every country, by the way. Roger loves, maybe still loves, playing this and included it in solo performances and with his band, The Cross, in later years. There is an extended remix called A Kind of Magic, featuring a longer guitar solo, as well as some very peppy percussion fun. Now, the early demo, A Kind of Vision, I spoke about this when I talked about One Vision previously. This song, A Kind of Vision, features bits of both this, A Kind of Magic, as well as One Vision. Musically, it's a mashup of Roger's original magic vibe and Freddie's boppy revision. It's slower. The choruses incorporate lyrics from One Vision, One Man, One Soul, One Vision. But really, it sounds much more like an early version of this song alone. There's not as much that reminds us of One Vision. The song's video was filmed by Highlander director Russell Mulcahy in the disused Playhouse Theater in Trafalgar Square. Brian commented, "It was dilapidated at the time, and we made it even more derelict for our atmospheric video. We thought it was a neat idea for Freddie to be the wizard and for us to be the guys he transforms from tramps into glamorous rock stars." And Brian did not use his Red Special during filming, instead played a copy and also employed a 1921 three-quarter Gibson guitar. John appears to briefly hold a banjo. Brian considers this to be one of the best videos of Queen. Though with no heating in the building, everyone, band and crew, were freezing. They all have rosy cheeks, maybe makeup, perhaps a little bit of the atmospheric elements. And the video, really, it's one of my favorites, actually. Shot really well. We would expect that coming from the director of a film. And they're having fun, despite the frigid temps. Either that or they're just really good at acting like they're having fun. But they look like they're having a great time doing this video. And the video includes animations added in post-production. This is the first time this has happened since Queen's Save Me, all the way back from 1980's The Game. I have band critique, of course, and I think I have a little something from All the Boys this time. Freddie, in the Magic interviews of 1986, quote, "We all have our own ideas of how a song should be. A song can be done in so many different ways, depending on who's doing it. But sometimes I just feel it's not right. In case of Roger's track, which is Magic, he did it in a totally different way, which is quite good. But I just felt that there was another commercial streak. He was going away to LA for about a week, so I just got hold of it and I changed it around completely. And when he came back, I said, 'Well, what do you think?' And he said, 'Oh, I like it. It's a completely different song, but sometimes you can see something else in other people's songs.'" Unquote. And honestly, Freddie, fantastic job. Fantastic job. I think I have more comments from the other boys talking about that here. But first, John in Popcorn in 86, quote, "We fight a lot and hard. We are all pig-headed. Most of all, Roger and Freddie roar at each other over and over again. The new single brought a lot of fights, so we released Roger's song in Europe, and in the States, Freddie's song, Princes of the Universe. We will see who wins," unquote. I'll talk about that more as I get to the latter track I just mentioned much later down the road here. Now, Brian and Roger had a lot to say on Greatest Video Hits 2 from 2003. Brian, quote, "The track as conceived by Roger in the beginning was quite sort of lugubrious and heavy, and Freddie totally lightened it up to make it a commercially accessible kind of thing, putting in this riff thing and making little sort of mantras out of little pieces," unquote. And Roger continued, quote, "Basically the song is a précis of the story of the Highlander, and the line is an actual line in the movie. That was where the song came from, and it's sort of about an immortal. It was written for the movie, and it became very popular on stage. When we played it on the 1986 tour, our last tour ever, it used to go down incredibly well, and it had a very good end to it. Originally, it was much more filmic, And in fact, it was used at the end of the movie as the closing credits. It was much less dance-oriented, and it had broken up tempos, a grander concept. Freddie particularly believed in this song, and we reworked it into a single for the album. And funnily enough, they played it on the jukebox in the second Highlander movie. By that time, it had been a big worldwide hit, unquote. I love how he says they reworked it. Is that code? Is that a smoothed over line to kind of gloss over the fact that they might have thought about the way it sounded? And then Roger went to LA and Freddie was like, I'm gonna take this. I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna change it. For the best, of course, though, like I said, I do love Roger's version of this. It speaks to me, and maybe because it's Roger's, I'm a little biased. I love Raj. I think I love it all the more because of that. But some great things from the boys there. And John, of course, emphasizing how they fought. I want to talk about that too. He specifically mentioned that Roger and Freddie got into it quite a bit, not just with this song, but typically speaking. And that's interesting to me because I've read comments from Roger more recently saying he never had a crossword with Fred. Interesting. There was that one incident I read about where Roger and Brian were almost coming at blows about something, and Freddie, they burst into the room or something, and Freddie was sitting there in just his robe or something, munching down on cereal. And for some reason, it was really funny. And that kind of broke the ice. I love those kinds of stories because we get the humanity of Queen, and we get a little bit of that reality of Queen to get through that barrier that not everybody's privy to. You know what's really interesting about this song, A Kind of Magic? There's not a lot written about it. I found an article or two, but when it was released, not a lot of publications were writing about this song. They didn't say much about it. They didn't comment on it. I did find one mention from Sounds. Quote, the enduring Queen produced another slick piece of cabaret and vaudeville, unquote. Okay, cabaret, vaudeville, what? Are we listening to the same song here? Because this, A Kind of Magic, on the album is extremely pop, accessible, snappy, catchy. It's a kind of magic. It's not just the finger snaps we have at the beginning. This song is very easy. It's so easy to listen to. It's enjoyable. I don't understand. I really don't get it. Cabaret, vaudeville, Sounds. What are you thinking? What is going on? Now, a little bit of praise. You Discover Music, of course, this was much more recent. While ranking this number 16 on Queen's best songs, best 20 songs, called it catchy with memorable lyrics and a clever pop arrangement. Thank you. That is what I would expect to read from just about any publication, contemporary or retrospective. Smooth Radio and Gold Radio UK both ranked this number 13 on their list of Queen's 20 and 15 best songs, respectively. Clearly, this song has gained a following and lots of love over the years, despite critics sleeping on it at its release. Fans have a happy love and a warmth for it, and Brian's solo gets massive appreciation. But it still isn't celebrated enough as the perfectly pop rock piece of heaven it is. I don't read a lot about A Kind of Magic. This album doesn't get as much talk, discussion as earlier Queen albums, or perhaps their very tail end album, because I think generally speaking, 70s Queen is more celebrated than 80s Queen. And you're looking at a girl who is also one of those people. I love 70s Queen. It takes a lot more in 80s Queen to really massively impress me. I would say that this song, even though it's fairly simple in structure, but there are some wow moments here. And I think their style, especially what they've evolved into I think that's from both Roger and Freddie. Remember how way back in the day, I used to talk about Roger driving the boys forward with different genres. He was the one going out and listening to bands, listening to the trends. What's going on? Hey, let's write in this style. Hence, we got things like Fun It all the way back in 1978. A very funk, dance, rhythm-inspired number that was incredibly unique. And still, there's nothing like it, even to this day. There's nothing like that song in Queen's catalog. So I think between Roger driving forward with something more atmospheric and then Freddie kind of taking this and giving it that accessible pop, bouncy, like he said, commercial streak, this spin on it really makes this a song that stands out, not just on this album, but in general, in the world of Queen. And yet I don't read a lot about it. When people talk about A Kind of Magic, they talk about the video more than the song itself. And that is very similar to I Want to Break Free. People talk about the video, which is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's one of my favorite videos, I think, A Kind of Magic. But this does not get enough love. A Kind of Magic is truly exactly what the title says it is. It's a kind of magic. Snap, snap. And supposedly, this finger snapping was done by singer and guitarist Chris Rea. And those notes sung by Freddie, that's the bass riff. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And really, that's the bass riff. Psychedelic synth effects, reversed vocals, magical swells, and a few octaves of the tonic sweeping in on these synths. Some harmonics. It's almost alien-like. It's almost... oh, it's like a trance. Reverse echo swell. And in case you missed it, there are reverse echoes on all the verse vocals. A very subtle but extremely effective plug-in creates this striking, sweeping effect, this dreamlike effect. I'm going to link to the isolated vocals so you can hear it. It's absolutely stunning what was done on these vocals. So impactful. One dream, one soul. First, Freddie's voice. It's wide, sharp, bright, partially created by that clever echo, that atmosphere, around his crystalline singing is the gorgeous chord progression. A, B seventh, add nine, D major seventh, back to A, back to the tonic. These seventh chords are just heavenly and add extra atmospheric dimension to an otherwise pretty simple progression. The chords are built with an almost organ-sounding synth. It's very warm, fluttering synth effects, almost like an owl. Woo! You'll kind of hear him bouncing around. A shuffling tease of percussion, perfectly panned from left to right and back, bouncing around us. One golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic. One, two, three. That kick as the drums and bass dive in, take off. The chords loop back, and we're immediately aware of John's perky bassline perfection. I'm probably going to talk about it multiple times as we go through this. Freddie sounds gorgeous through all of this phrasing, and then the brilliant last section of the verse. The bell that rings inside your mind. Brian appears, arpeggios, doo-doo-doo, is challenging. The dawns of time. This moment right here, Brian's little riff, the third and the fifth, and just falls down the scale in that buttery beauty. And John's diversion into a wind down going into the pre-chorus. He hits the sixth in that run, and I love it on his bass. The wedding seems eternity. Pre-chorus, and it's the only time we hear minor chords in the song. F sharp minor into D, then E, respectively. But there's so much going on here. We only hear this section once, so it's a real treat. Freddie only sings two phrases, lead, in this section, but he does it with such intensity and anticipation. The instrumentation here, that panned cymbal bounce and those crescendos of snares, Brian's rounded chords, John's persisting notes. The day will dawn, dawn. That's such an incredible moment, that crescendo of those harmonies and that vocal there. Go listen to the vocal isolation again. It's powerful. That seventh chord. These backing vocals hide embellished notes that add so much color to the structure. On Sanity. The oohs that rise in parallel harmonies into those high falsettos as John's bass permeates our ears. Chorus, very simple, D, A chords. Is this a kind of magic? Those teasing, a kind whispers. There can be only one. Freddie's voice breaks strangely on only, and I can never unhear it, but it's precious. Power chord, Brian, on the tonic and the fifth. This rage that lasts a thousand years. E to G, it's a flat seventh chord, then D, E. Beautiful variation on the square phrasing and these harmonics. Second verse and Freddie's dynamics are some of his best in the song. This flame that burns inside of me, I'm here in secret harmonies. Isn't that just gorgeous, the way he flows, he feels it. This is what I was talking about with that kind of jazzy delivery. Brian's guitar work, that ping on the third in the middle of that phrase, then the oscillating guitar harmonies in parallel thirds, reportedly played by Roger on Brian's Red special. Aw, it's so sweet. Fluttering along, beautiful. And then Freddie, total shift in tone. The bell that rings. Slam, that drum there. Brian appears again, arpeggios. Or could that be Raj again? It's challenging the doors of time. Whew. Oh, Freddie. Brian is definitely back for that thrilling run into our instrumental hook break. The chord progression matches the first phrases of the chorus here in this section, but Brian's playing creates the playful atmosphere. Variations in John's bass line, the panning of the percussion, that accented little block. Cymbals, swells of synthesized vocals, glistening and glittering. It's a kind of magic. And Brian's growl appears on guitar. John plays triplets. This rage that lasts a thousand years will soon be done. The added echoes of vocal harmonies are strategically placed. And we get that fabulous glissando high vocalization. Magic. There can be only one, one, one. And the final climactic moment of that assertion. We'll soon be done, done. Ooh, even if this was done with effects and alterations to those vocals. Such a bright, blissful moment that echoes roundly. And we'll hear that echo reappear in swells throughout the outro and every moment that comes. John does a little lick up at the end of that phrase, a tasty treat. And just as the vocals fade, his bass is back, snaps a company again, snare teased. Magic! So lovely, so fun. It's a kind of magic, magic, magic! Brian's hook is here. John's bass His own hook, really, is here. Those ladylike vocals in the back, Freddie's laugh. It's magic. Fluttery percussion in all the right places. Brian's the star here, though, with rapidly ascending and descending scales that shift in tone, diatonic with lots of half steps, chromatic arrangements, notes in these layers of sound here that you don't expect, and you pick it apart and is absolute perfection, really complex and interesting. It's like glitter and stars that just make me so happy. It's a kind of magic. The phrasing chord strikes, those harder, heavier percussion strikes. It's a kind of magic. It fades out. I kind of wish it ended. What was it a while back I was reading? Brian said something about those fade outs. He felt like those were typically a bit of a cop out to not end a song, not resolve it, to just fade it out. But maybe it does add an element of eternity. Because as it fades out, we can imagine this just bopping along. John's little riff. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Mmm. Brian's guitar licks. Those fluttery elements. That glittery percussion. What is it about all of this that just creates this beautiful, beautiful wall of sound? Queen's wall of sound. I love this song. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And I don't think that's going to change. I think my love for this has just escalated to a point where it's going to continue to coast on this high point for a long while. My love for this is so big, I think it exceeds other even more successful and more recognized and celebrated songs like I Want to Break Free. This song to me is just more. It's not even just more memorable, it's more impactful. Yes, the messaging of I Want to Break Free is rousing and inspiring, but this, there's a power behind it. And I think it comes from the origination of that idea, the immortality, living forever, the kind of magic. Roger, as the original composer, really succeeded in recognizing that feeling in this melodically. He's got a great sense of melody. And I think Freddie adding that element of poppier jive is the brilliance that makes this work on such a wonderful level, such a high level. It's simply fantastic, effortlessly done, flawlessly executed. And every single version we get to hear that takes us from the nucleus of this song, if you will, all the way to the final cut that ended up as the single release, and then the live performances and beyond, just gives us all these iterations that completely encapsulate and epitomize those feelings. It's brilliant. And I really don't know which version I like best. I definitely love this live, especially Wembley. As I said, I believe it's night one's performance. Brian, when he gets into those runs towards the end in that outro, I get goosebumps. My heart smiles just watching them play. And you can tell if you listen to it from night to night, Brian is just on fire. That first performance is so much better in all aspects, and they play off each other when that happens. You can tell they know when someone else is absolutely in the moment dialed in, because everything changes. Everything gels into this perfect little circle of sound. John gets into it more. You can see him jiving down, digging in. Freddie's, I don't know if you can strut stronger necessarily, but something about his movements on stage tells me that being together for so long, you just know when another person in your band is totally on. And that turns you on like a light bulb. It just lights you up and everything comes together. It's brilliant. It's gorgeous. Go listen to it at Wembley. Seriously, you will not regret it. Fantastic. Magic. And check out Roger's original version. Something about it speaks to me. I don't know. I love the depth and the warmth of that version. It doesn't have the same dynamic shifts in sections. The phrasing is definitely different. It's not quite as elaborate. It's definitely not as playful. But I certainly appreciate the grand atmosphere. Didn't Roger use that word? It was more grand, grounded a little bit more. Feels like it's coming from a deeper place. And I love that sentiment with it. A kind of magic. Go back and listen to it again for the 1,000th time or the 5th time. Or if you haven't ever really listened to it in depth, it will be the first time. And you will love it. A Kind of Magic. One of my favorites from the album of the same name. We're going to shift gears as we go into the next dive. I might talk about something else before, though. What have I done? 4 episodes for Queen? I got to shift it up. I was thinking about a particularly troubling topic the other day, but I might shift gears and focus on something positive to keep things going in this sparkling, magical thread. All right, guys, keep yourselves alive. I'll be back next time. You know the drill. This is how we do it. Later.